It's Thursday, January 25th, AD 2018. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Nepalese Christians are petitioning the Nepal government to repeal the anti-conversion ban that passed in October 2017. The Worldview spoke to William Stark, regional manager for that area from International Christian Concern, about how Nepal is trying to please different parties with the anti-conversion ban after they became a quote-unquote secular nation with freedom of religion.
You have several different parties at play. You have the international community that wants Nepal to become kind of a full secular democratic nation. But then also within Nepal itself, you have a Hindu majority, and within that Hindu majority, Hindu nationalists and Hindu radicals who want Nepal to be, once again, a Hindu kingdom.
Stark said that there is a bright side to this situation for Nepalese Christians.
The bright spot in this, I guess, if you can say there's a bright spot, is that we have time. The law was actually passed and, quote-unquote, signed into law by the president in October last year. But the actual law itself will not be effective until August of this year. So we've got 8 months where we can work pretty hard, we can advocate within the government, and we hopefully, something else that I know is happening on the ground, train the pastors and train the Christians who will be affected by this law on how to avoid getting arrested under it.
As we previously reported, Bolivia, South America passed a new penal code that could criminalize evangelism with up to 12 years in prison. Christians in the country responded with protests and marches, as well as a special day of prayer and fasting on Sunday. That same day, Bolivian President Evo Morales announced the repeal of the penal code, wanting to, quote-unquote, avoid confusion, reports Evangelical Focus. Morales said his government would listen to proposals from all sectors of the country on a new penal code. Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles." U.S.-led coalition forces report that 150 Islamic State militants are dead after airstrikes hit one of their last headquarters in eastern Syria on Saturday. The coalition says that ISIS has lost 98% of the territory it once held across Iraq and Syria since 2014. The U.S. Senate held a close vote yesterday to approve President Trump's nomination of Kansas Governor Sam Brownback to be the ambassador at large for international religious freedom. Vice President Mike Pence was called in to break the 49-49 tie. Brownback helped create the position in 1998 to address religious persecution worldwide and to promote religious liberty. Brownback tweeted, quote, "I am honored to serve such an important cause. Religious freedom is the first freedom, the choice of what you do with your own soul," end quote. America is one of the least trusting nations, according to the 2018 Edelman Trust Barometer. Only 1 in 3 Americans trust the government to do the right thing, down by 15 percentage points from last year. Trust in the media, business, and non-governmental organizations has fallen a number of points as well. Edelman reports that these are the biggest drops in trust in the U.S. after 18 years of research. Psalm 146, 3 and 5 reminds us, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Planned Parenthood CEO Cecile Richards plans to resign next week, reports LifeSite News, based on sources familiar with the situation. Richards has overseen the abortion giant's murder of over 3 million babies since 2006. Richards drew in a big salary, $1 million currently. Meanwhile, the Planned Parenthood client base has gone down along with the actual health services amid scandals involving the illegal sale of baby body parts. Pray that God would end this wicked organization. Former U.S. Olympic doctor Larry Nassar received a sentence of up to 175 years in prison in Michigan yesterday for abusing numerous female athletes under his medical care. Nearly 160 women came forward to give their accounts of abuse. Nassar pled guilty to multiple counts of criminal sexual conduct in November of last year. Paul wrote in Galatians 6, 7 through 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Why is the major news media so biased against the pro-life cause? And why are pro-lifers so encouraged after this year's March for Life? Stay tuned for a Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast. And finally, a New Jersey dad named Robert Leibowitz, who has been suffering from a chronic kidney disease, got a kidney transplant this week after wearing an In Need of Kidney t-shirt to Disney World last summer, reports CBS News. An Indiana dad named Richie Sully offered to be the kidney donor after someone posted a picture of Leibowitz's t-shirt that got 90,000 shares in the first week. Both are doing well now after the surgery at the New York Presbyterian Cornell Medical Center. Leibowitz said, quote, "Words cannot explain. This guy's saving my life. He's giving me more time with my kids," end quote. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes. On this Thursday, January 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2018, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report by Emily Swanson. Life News reports that ABC, CBS, and NBC spent about 7 minutes of airtime on the Women's March in Washington, D.C. By contrast, only 2 minutes was given to the annual March for Life 2018. Though this was only the second year of the Women's March and the 45th year of the March for Life, the media bias is heavily on the side of liberal causes that the Women's March supports. The Worldview wanted to be a part of the media that did cover the actual March for Life 2018. And we continue our coverage with an interview from Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. Tobias told the Worldview that the March for Life was full of joy and the celebration of life.
What I saw at the march was a lot of laughter, a lot of love, a lot of care, compassion, a lot of concern for not only unborn children and their mothers, but for those with disabilities and the elderly and our country in general. It was a very positive, upbeat event, the rally and then the march up to the Capitol and the Supreme Court afterwards. Not that they were there to have a good time, because they know that we are trying to stop the death of unborn children, but their whole attitude was just one of peace and joy, and it was just amazing.
Tobias explained why the major media has been biased against the pro-life movement since the Roe v. Wade case in 1973.
It isn't any surprise that a rally or a march organized in large part to defend abortion would get more coverage in the media. We've known for 45 years that the institutional media in this country supports abortion. It was many major media outlets, including the New York Times, as soon as Roe v. Wade came down, tried to tell everybody that the court decision only legalized abortion for the first 3 months of pregnancy, when we know it was legal for all 9 months of pregnancy in all 50 states.
She said that there is a deficit of pro-life reporters and journalists.
That is one field that pro-lifers need to work on. I have a friend who used to say, so many young pro-life people want to be lawyers because they think they can overturn Roe v. Wade. They want to be the lawyer that makes it to the Supreme Court. And if anybody told him that they wanted to go to school to be a lawyer, he would just say, we have enough pro-life attorneys. We need pro-life reporters and journalists.
Tobias shared that the most encouraging part about the 2018 March for Life was the high turnout of young people.
A lot of schools and universities do bring young people to the marches, but there are also a lot of families who just come on their own. This is an amazing gathering of people of all ages, but overwhelmingly, I would say the majority of people in that pro-life march in Washington, D.C. are young people, whether it's middle school, high school, grade school. A lot of parents are bringing their little kids and pushing them in strollers.
Tobias was encouraged by the fact that the pro-life movement is going to continue with this next young generation.
The pro-life movement is going to win. We are going to end abortion because young people tend to be more pro-life. It may not be because they have a faith or a relationship with Jesus Christ that brings them into the movement. For many of them, it is a human rights issue. If the unborn child is a human being, then he or she should be protected.
Pray for the young pro-lifers who do not know Jesus, that God would save them, that they would repent of their sins and begin a personal relationship with their Creator. Pray also for the young people who will be taking up this baton, that they would defend life for the glory of God who made it, and that they would not grow weary in well-doing, as Paul counsels in Galatians 6:9. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.